I'll figure out how to use the controls here on the board because it's one of those things that when Ethan is out, which happens from time to time, then I'm back in the position of running the board and doing the show, which I like to think that I'm a master multitasker, but apparently I'm not. And you know, I posted a TBT yesterday, right, a Throwback Thursday, of a photo of me from about 20 years ago sitting at the console, which we always did then. I never had the luxury of having a board operator. I was doing it all. And even before that, when I first began my radio career, we still had two turntables and a microphone, and we had CD players and all of the above, cart machines. You had to kind of have octopus-like skill to do a radio show. And then now I can't even figure out how to operate a simple mic fader. So I apologize. Lots of fun stuff to talk about this afternoon. I've been talking about this reaction from the evangelicals now that the transcript has been published and why it sickens me. Not everyone agrees with this. This is Donald Trump's meeting with evangelicals, by the way. We'll get to that and more this afternoon. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon, we're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you, Leo Brown. Almost Hour, culture, current events, our Catholic faith. 50 minutes every afternoon. If you follow me on Facebook, Leo C. Brown, you'll discover that I have a new obsession. I guess it's new. It's kind of always been there, but now I'm expressing it perhaps more these days. I'm a little more open, a little more transparent about my challenges here, and that is the desire that I have. I guess it must be, I can only chalk it up to a midlife crisis, right? That's what it is. I'm at that point now where I need a sports car. Right. Not that I can afford that. I think most career professionals, by the time they reach my age, they've accumulated enough cash to go buy that sports car. They could do that. Right. I've worked in nonprofit media for the past 13 years, and so that's not me. But still, I have desires, appetites, and I covet certain things, and that Mustang keeps looking more and more impressive to me all the time. And so then I was Googling around and I found the 68, my birth year, which is the reason why I have an affinity for the 68 Fastback, which is a beautiful car. But to get one, it's like $100,000. It's $100,000 for a almost 50-year-old car, which just blows me away. So then I thought, well, I'll just go over to the Ford site and I'll build one. Right? I'll just build me up one because I can do that on the Ford website. And I did that. And as it turns out, brand spanking new 2016 Fastback Mustang with a 5-liter 8-cylinder engine, not even half the price of the vintage. So, but I mean, that doesn't mean anything to a guy who has, again, spent the last 13 years in nonprofit media. So anyway, but Breadbox Media is not nonprofit. It is a for-profit. And the reason why we've done that is so we can give money away. I know it sounds crazy, but that's what we do. We give half of anything that we get away before we even get it. It's pretty cool. The program's called Bless the Yes. If you know nonprofits, any nonprofit, qualifying nonprofit, I'd like to say, there's an application process. Catholic schools, Catholic parishes, nonprofit organizations, anyone who is looking to raise extra funds, we can help them do that because, again, kind of like the Tom's Shoe model, which, by the way, Tom's Shoe gives a shoe away for every shoe purchased, which is a little bit different because we're talking about a product that has profit margin built in. We give away our gross revenue. So we just say half of anything that comes in before we even take it to pay bills, we give it away. That's what we're trying to establish, an attitude of radical generosity that says, you know what, we're crazy like that. We're just going to do that. Zig Ziglar says you can have anything in this world that you want if you help others get what they want, and not because it's all about me getting what I want. It's really about me helping others get what they want, and that's what this is about. That's what Breadbox Media is about. Bless the Yes. Yes is an acronym. You ensure support. You ensure that support by opening the doors to nonprofits to help them do what they do. So exciting stuff. You can find out more about this on the app. There's a side menu that has links to Bless the Yes. You can find out more there or simply at our website, breadboxmedia.com. You can find out everything there. So exciting stuff. So we've had, speaking of excitement, overnight, the vote in Britain, the Brexit, as it's been called, exiting the European Union. Now what's next? Well, of course, Wall Street goes nuts because that's what Wall Street does. It's all about the jerking of the knees on Wall Street. And so that immediate reaction was, oh no, the sky is falling. Because let's face it, Wall Street looks for the sky to fall every day. That's what they do. And that's how they make money and that's how they lose money. It's all about knee-jerk reactions. We'll see where all of this ends up leveling after a while here. But what's most interesting in all of this, I believe, is what I heard from my favorite presidential candidate in the race, Donald Trump. I need like some fanfare. I need to develop some. Every time I talk about Donald Trump, I need to like, bah, 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 you know, something like enter the Messiah. Because, I mean, this is what the conservatives had such a problem with, the giddy excitement of liberals in 2008, right, over Obama. Like he's the second coming. He is everything we've been waiting for. This guy is going to be the best thing that we've ever seen in the presidency. And, you know, conservatives criticized that giddy schoolgirlness attitude of so many liberals who are just crazy, just gaga over Obama. I'm seeing the same thing on the conservative side, please, right? It's there. So realize how this looks. Realize how this looks to somebody who can look at it objectively. It's almost the same. Almost the same, only different, because now we're talking about a conservative candidate and not a liberal. And I know many of my friends disagree with me. I'm okay with that. I can have friends who I love dearly, who I don't agree with, right? That's important. If all we do is hang out with people who are members of the Mutual Admiration Society with one another, I don't think there's any growth that ever happens in those relationships. There's something, as Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, man sharpens man. There's something about the sparks that fly when we disagree. There's something about the friction that's created, which allows us to grow. I'm okay with that. Not everyone is. But my Facebook page, I think, going as crazy as Wall Street today with the Brexit announcement because of the many reactions I've had to some of the things that I've been talking about over there. But one of the things, because I don't know, maybe I'm not seeing something. Maybe I'm willing to admit or willing to accept that it could be me, okay? It's like the Jimmy Buffett song, right? Margaritaville. Some people say that there's a woman to blame, but I know maybe it's my fault, right? So I'd be willing to accept that perhaps it is my fault that I'm not seeing something here. But Donald Trump is coming out today saying, applauding the decision of the Brexit vote, doing this from Scotland, which apparently the majority of Scotland, oddly enough, decided to stay because they've had the referendum before to leave Great Britain. They tried that 2014. It fell through. There are many ardent nationalists in Scotland who have never gotten over the annexation of Scotland into Great Britain, and they're there hanging out saying, you know, they're the stalwarts in the independence movement, but apparently they're not the majority. But nonetheless, this is where Trump is making these statements and essentially saying, we're going to do the same thing in America. So what what does that mean? Are we going to declare our independence? Is that what we're going to do? We're going to break away from the European Union. Well, it's about darn time, isn't it? My goodness. How much oppression, how much we've been just under the thumb of the EU since we joined. I'm sorry, when did that happen? When were we a part of that? Oh, didn't we declare our independence like 200 and some odd years ago? Didn't that happen already? I thought it did. Don't we celebrate? Are we going to have a bigger 4th of July this year because of Brexit now? Because, you know, we're going to act like we're breaking free again. I don't know. This type of, what does that mean? We're going to do the same thing. Are we going to do the same thing? Are we going to have states now going back to a confederacy? Is that what we're going to do? Will we have a Confederate reaction that says we are not connected? We will declare our independence. Is that what it means? Again, I maybe didn't pay attention in civics class in high school. Maybe my political science course in college didn't teach me enough, but I don't understand. I don't understand this dynamic of how we as Americans are going to do what Britain just did. I don't get it. I don't understand that. So, Trump is making these comments, and apparently, as he's making these comments, deepening his support for those who are like, yeah, we're going to be independent again. Yeah, I guess those who want that, even though we've had it for since 1776. But nonetheless, he's also doing something very interesting with the evangelical voting bloc, and that is winning their hearts, just overwhelmingly, apparently now supportive of this guy who, in my opinion, and I've said this on Facebook, and I'm going to defend why I'm saying this in the next segment, is the most anti-Catholic candidate we've ever had. Ever. I would say, based on what I've seen, now you could say what you want about Hillary Clinton being a criminal or a crook or whatever, or having support of abortion. I understand that. I'm not saying I'm a Hillary supporter or a Hillary fan. I'm just saying, to me, Donald Trump is the most anti-Catholic candidate I have experienced. And coming back, I'll tell you why I think that. More to come. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
We'll be right back.
events, our Catholic faith, politics, unfortunately, which is part of the whole current event deal. Hey, speaking of things that I saw currently, it was a tweet that I retweeted from earlier, Time Magazine, talking about the foods that will make us hungrier. Most of it, stuff that's junk food, which I got to admit is my favorite food. That's what I love. I love candy and snacks, chips of almost any nature that don't have gluten. And there's many of them, right? Corn chips, completely okay. Potato chips. The one that I used to love the most, and I would eat like the entire big bag, like not the little snack bags, and especially not those little snack bags, right? The tiny ones. You got a couple of sizes of snack bags. There's the one that's adequate to some degree, that's whatever medium-esque sized, I guess. And then there's that tiny little thing that you would get in the multi-packs that you're supposed to pack for lunch, I guess, as a side item. But you got to eat about 8 of those to get anywhere. But I would get the Sun Chips, the original Sun Chip, the entire big bag, like the family size, and I would just sit and eat that pretty much in one sitting. So that was something I used to do. I've tried to refrain from that type of practice, but still chips and candy I love. Our youngest son definitely taken after me in that world. Can't get enough of that kind of stuff. And then Zach and Mona, they'll do the healthy eating for both of us. That's all right. For the entire family, they'll do that. But one of the things that's on there, MSG is mentioned. Now, I didn't know that we just ate MSG, but I guess anything that's enhanced with the MSG, Asian food, many times you go to the buffets, you eat like crazy, and then maybe you're hungry 10 minutes later. It's apparently because of the MSG. So that healthy eating guide, which really not, it just tells you what is not going to, well, it's going to make you hungry when you eat it anyway. It's over on my Facebook page, Leo C. Brown. You can find me there. Not, which I'm surprised. Typically, those are the kind of things that go nuts on my page and people will get, you know, well, I hate this food anyway, or oh my goodness, that's my favorite, or what, oh, you know, this and that. You know, we get a lot of debate over what to eat. It's like the Cheetos, right? The mac and cheese Cheetos from Burger King. But the one that's gotten the most play today is the transcript from Donald Trump's meeting with evangelicals and kind of what this is. I guess I don't know why I have such an aversion to this. And believe me, I would have an aversion to this even if I didn't already have an aversion to Donald Trump. You got to understand, right? So I don't care who the candidate is. When I hear this kind of stuff, it really makes me, I get it. I just think it's inappropriate. I think that there's a time and place. There's a render to Caesar, right? Render to Caesar and render to God. And I think that those lines get blurred. And I even said earlier on my Facebook page, look, I'm a believer. I think anybody who knows me knows how serious I take my Catholic faith, but I don't want a theocracy. I don't want a theocracy. I don't want that. I believe that there are those who think they want that, but I promise you, you get a theocracy, I don't think it's going to be what you want. But nonetheless, yeah, I mean, it was in the primary season when a certain evangelical leader, Kenneth Copeland, comes out and says, I believe that Ted Cruz is ordained by God to be the next president of the United States. So what do you do with that? Where's your credibility after that? How can you, you know, I get having faith and I get persevering and long suffering and you know, fortitude and all these things that you can trust that God is leading you into something. And believe me, I've been down many of those roads, and I've done through the grace of God, not because of my belief, but because of the grace of God and me trusting that grace, I have been able to see things unfold that I hoped for and I trusted that God was going to do. And it happened, it worked, because I did put my faith there. But it's not about me building my credibility or jeopardizing my credibility. It's about me trusting. But how do you go out and make a statement like, I believe that this is the next president of the United States because God has ordained this to be? And this is the kind of language that some of these evangelicals are using in this transcript with Donald Trump. And I'm, how do we do that? How do we invoke the name of God and our faith and grace into a dynamic where we know there's someone who has been degrading of human dignity? And again, I don't care who this is. I would even be uncomfortable with it if it was someone who maybe did do everything seemingly right, but still there's this confidence that God is ordaining someone into this position. I just think that that's kind of sketchy territory. Right? It's one thing to have faith that God is going to bring about something because God is in control and just trust that. But to say that this is the guy and this is why, because he's called by God to be here, and especially when someone else was supposedly called by God to be there, but now he's not. How does that work? So I think we got to be careful when we invoke these elements into and inject these elements into politics, and especially when there's repeated evidence of human dignity violation after human dignity violation. And we're called to judge a tree by its fruit. And if we see the fruit of that tree is degrading other individuals because of their disabilities, because of their nationalities, because of their gender, we've seen that. We've seen that. The evidence is clear. And just because this individual happens to be a part of the political party that we seem to lean most closely with, and some, I mean, 100%, right? Hook, line, and sinker, right in. I've been there. I know that feeling. I know where it is. I know where that sentiment is. But to sit back and explore this a little bit more closely and ask yourself some tough questions and then break out of a mold that we're kind of expected to be a part of. I mean, people don't know what to do with independence. I don't mean independence. Independence, like me. Plural. Those who are of the independent persuasion. Because we can't fit that mold on either side. So weird things happen, like we're hated by both, right? Or at times we may say something right that both the one or the other agrees with, and then maybe we have a little bit of, okay, well, that's good. I see what you're saying. Yeah, that makes sense. But generally speaking, that territory that appears to be neutral when it's not neutral territory at all. It's quite honestly very lonely territory because few subscribe to this, because we're so entrenched into the left and right mentality, conservative versus liberal. But as I stated earlier today, I don't think it's science is not the enemy of religion. Science is actually very congruent. And if you understand scientific processes and nature, physics, mathematics, it is all just there to all the more affirm divine creation, intelligent design. It affirms it completely. But the enemy of religion, where division comes into play and where you cannot stand firmly in your faith and then embrace either side of this understanding, is politics. It simply can't. And the more I discern what my faith demands, the more I realize just how incongruent it really is. Either side. I don't care. Either side. There is no political party that gives me the comfort zone to say, well, you know, this is pretty good. I'm, as a Catholic, I'm down with this. Doesn't happen. Simply not there. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to Bless the Yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We are back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, Current, Defense, Hour, Catholic Faith, interesting things happening in the world. Brexit, apparently, Britain's going independent of the European Union. There seems to be some fear now as far as what could happen with other union members, other countries, as far as those countries possibly declaring their independence. France seems to be pretty bent on it, right? French people have been very nationalistic for a long time, and no surprise there. There have been possible referendums in Scotland as well, as was proposed in 2014, which did not pass. And maybe this is the tipping point, right? This could be that push that the rest of the countries needed to see happen. So time will tell. Market reaction, of course, volatile, and what all remains to be seen as far as what happens. Prayers going out to West Virginia, the state just unfortunately hit with deluge of downpour and unfortunate flooding. I think the death toll is at 14 now from the floods, and definitely in need of prayers, and they'll be in need of cleanup and response once this all gets through. So unfortunate situation there. Saw this on a friend's Facebook page, decided to comment because I am very much attuned to human dignity issues, and I think we need to be, and I think that this is what, if there's Catholic identity, and I'll say that again, if there's an identity of Catholic, I think it has to be, where is the dignity? Show me the dignity, right? It's not show me the money. It's not even show me the crucifix. Show me the rosary. Show me the mass attendance. Show me the adoration hour. Yes, those things are important. But when it comes down to dignity, that needs to be the identity of Catholicism. That's the key. This is why we're pro-life. This is why we're pro-poor. This is why we're pro-disenfranchised. This is why we're pro-immigrant. This is why we're pro-people. Because everything is measured by the one point of equality, the one true point of equality, and that is equal human dignity for all, born, unborn, innocent, guilty, American, immigrant, legal, illegal. This is where it comes down. This is what it's about. And if we understand that and we put that at the point of measurement of everything that we do, and I think that we even measure our own behavior by this. Is this dignified of me? Is this behavior, is this action, is this dignified? Does it do something to improve the dignity of others, or does it degrade the dignity of others? Is what I'm thinking dignified? is this dignified of me, and does it improve the dignity of others, or does it degrade that dignity? And I think if we begin to make that kind of our own little personal mission statement, that it's all about the dignity, show me the dignity, right? That's Catholic identity, big time. I think it's amazing what we may be able to derive simply by putting that at the forefront. So I found it interesting when I saw this discussion from Mike.com. It's one of my favorite websites. They're very left-leaning, but I can handle that, right? I read a lot of left-leaning stuff, or read a lot of right-leaning stuff, right? I read Breitbart. I read WorldNet Daily. I read Fox News. And I read Mike, Slate, Salon, Mother Jones, right? So I'm hopefully, again, as I said, if I find them both reporting something very similar, I'm like, that's pretty trustworthy. But occasionally they'll throw out pretty crazy things like this story, which I think is kind of crazy, but it paints a picture that I think is something that we all have to think about. And basically what it is this kind of liberation movement of high school girls not wearing bras. And basically, male administrators saying, you can't do that because that's too distracting. That's too distracting to us. Now, you can argue this how you want. And you could say, well, come on now. Let's be realistic here. Men will be men. Or you could say, really? What if men decided to consider the dignity of the individual and not be concerned about that? Not let it be a distraction. Well, Leo, come on. This is just what, I mean, are they nude? No. Is it something that is that distracting that they have to fantasize or be tempted by high school girls? There's a deeper problem. I think there's a deeper problem there. And you can maybe say, well, you know, Leo, you're so idealistic. You're being unrealistic. We can't expect people to do that. Well, I think we can. I think we can. I think we can expect people. We darn well better expect people to have that type of attitude. To say we're not going to objectify and over-sexualize everything. I started the show talking about my crazy covetousness of a car, right? A Mustang. Whether it's the 68 Fastback or the 2016 Fastback, I'm objectifying an object, right? So, and it's not coveting. I'm not saying, I want that of my neighbors. I'm going to take that from them. No, I'm enamored by the vehicle. I think it's a pretty attractive car, and I'm objectifying an object. We can do that. We can do that, right? We don't have to be so acquisitive that everything is all about what can I get and how do I get more and more and more to the detriment of others. That's not what I'm doing. And even if one day, God willing, I had the cash to have a vehicle like that, that truly is not hurting anyone. That truly is helping. Because from the economic standpoint of me being a part of the economy, it's okay. There's nothing to say, well, Leo, you talk this game, but you do that. There's some dichotomy here. There's something not adding up. Not incredibly congruent. I would challenge that. Because I'm not degrading the dignity of individuals in this process. And I think as Catholics, this needs to be our identity. This needs to be how we show. What does Scripture say? How do they know? And the song that we sing all the time, they will know we are Christians by what? By the way we vote? Yes, that's what it is. And they'll know we are Christians by our vote, by our vote. That's it. You're right. What was I thinking? It is by our vote. Yes. So we really got to think about that. Interesting story from The Atlantic. Love The Atlantic. I think they're great journalists. I think they treat stories very fairly. Talking about Canadian immigration and the fact that they see things very differently than we do. Now, you could argue, again, well, they don't have the border issue that we have because they border the U.S. and not Mexico. Are you saying that there are no immigrants who continue on north to get across that border as well? You can't say that because the facts are quite different. But they have a very different policy when it comes to embracing those who come to their country seeking asylum, seeking something. And it's a beautiful example to understand that when we put the dignity of individuals first and measure everything by that, we don't put nationality first. We don't put nationalism first. We don't put politics first or economics first. When we really boil it down to it's all about the individual, it's all about the fact that their dignity is equal to mine. When we start doing that, amazing things happen. I know I shared this and I think it's beautiful. And I would go back to, I wish I knew how to say it right, and I can't speak Latin. I think it's Nostra Aetate, but don't hold me to that. It's a conciliar document of the Second Vatican Council talking about our relationship with other faiths. And they've mentioned Buddhism and Hinduism and Muslims, of course, all of this in that. And basically that there's good in all of this. If we can see it, we need to see it. And this understanding of this Buddhist understanding of realizing that others are more enlightened than we are. I'm sorry, that's not yet. That others are more enlightened than we are. And which is not hard for me. Come on, believe me. I realize that just about everywhere I look. But to understand that even in those points of pressure where there's something that irritates us, because someone cuts in front of us, or someone insults us, or someone seems to disregard us, or to put us down, that they're actually much more enlightened. And they're teaching us something. This experience is teaching us something. And I ask that often. What is this teaching me? God, what am I supposed to learn from this? I trust that you've put me in this situation, whatever it is, this point of challenge, this irritation, it's there for me to try to figure out what's going on. All right, I think I've stepped on things now. So maybe there's a problem here. Sorry about that. But that's what we have to understand. That's all we have time for. Thank you so much. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. I can't run my own board. God bless.